G'day there, fellow humans. Mark Lebusque here for the Simply Practically Human podcast. It's a short, sharp Friday edition and a bit of a cheats one this week because I have teamed up and co-shared and stolen a podcast from my dear friend and fellow human, Tiff Cook, from the Roll with the Punches podcast. Her podcast is an absolute belter. We just get on like we usually do. We start somewhere, we finish somewhere, and all in between, we have all sorts of conversations. Have a listen. Have a bit of a listen to the way I keep on pushing the buttons of Tiff, and we'll have a little check-in at the end. Enjoy.
Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark Lebusque talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
Here he is.
Hello there. It's a different start. I better turn this off. I was just wondering, you might have been sending me a message going, I can't get this sorted out, but happy days. We're back. So how's your little experiment going?
Which experiment?
Well, letting go, because, okay, you know, the guests have enjoyed that episode. So where you're at?
2 weeks ago, I said to Lou, we had a meeting, I told her everything I wanted, and then it went by the wayside. I did that when I come back from thingy, and then I half progressed and then just didn't. And then I emailed her and I said, how about we have a weekly meeting that I pay you for that's a part of my time, and we just navigate how you need to manage me and I need to manage me so that you can actually take stuff off my list. So, yeah, so we've started just doing the basics at the moment, but I'm really going to need it because I've got a potential thing happening. So I'm trying to get 6 weeks ahead in podcasting, and I really need her to oversee stuff for a period of time.
So that's an experiment, and it's testing your big assumption, which was like, if I'm not doing it all, I'm not valued or valuable on that. And it would be giving you some data to say that's not the case, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. I find it difficult to let go.
We know that, but here's the thing. Like, so appreciation and acknowledgement is a very important thing. So well done, you, on going through the process and shitting yourself, not literally, but shitting yourself when you were doing it and going all quiet. And then people are like, oh, geez, that was hard. But you've taken on your cognitive immune system and you're overturning it at the moment. And it'll still bite back when you least expect it. But this is progress. And this is why, if you had to come back to me and said, oh, it's all sorted now, it's all done, like I'm really good now, I'd be like, fuck off, you are. You are taking small steps and you are thin slicing it. So well done.
You know what? It's two steps forward, one step back, yep, which is still a step forward. But it's like I take two and then I pull back a little bit, right? Because you can hand stuff over, like I hand stuff over and then I'm like, oh, I'll just control a little bit more of that. But it's until, but I explain it. Like, you know, it's the whole thing of explaining that. Like the main thing for Lou, I was going, I need to teach you how to drive me.
Yep.
Because there's going to be pushback on things and I need you to know when. You know what it reminds me of? When I had the guests on with the dog training, the special forces, like the bite dogs, yep, the attack dogs, and when we talked about how they train assistance dogs who are specifically trained to stop people from self-harming, and I was like, how do you train a dog to stop you from self-harming, but you're the owner and you have the commands, but then when you want to self-harm, you're going to tell the dog to stop. So how do you teach a dog when to listen to you and when not to? And that's kind of, I mean, I'm not comparing my VA to a dog by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I'm not.
But it's the same thing. It's like teaching you when you are going to have to, you know, like metaphorically punch me in the face and go, hey, no, this is actually what I need from you. This is how it's going to roll. And I push back on that too, because all of a sudden I work for someone. All of a sudden I have to have my part of the shit done by a, yep, certain time, which is like having a boss again. And my, yep, inner child goes, fuck that. No one's, yep, the boss of me. You're not the boss of me.
That's getting closer to the point. So I wanted to share this with you as well. Thanks for sharing. And again, well done that you said it's two steps forward and one step back. So I'm in front. What you've got to watch out for is when the sneaky thing turns up and goes, it knocks you three steps backwards when you've gone two steps forward, because it'll wait for its turn. And I think everyone would feel this at some point in their lives where it's like, yeah, I know I'm making that incremental progress, but it's what you do in the moment where it floors you again. Do you get up and go again, or do you go, oh, geez, I knew that would happen, you know, and that's just me anyway. That's the way I am. I'm going to end up like this. My sense is, having done this work for about 6 or 7 years, is that you're on the way to overturning your cognitive immune system. Be ready for it to try and land a big blow on you. And you know how that works because you're in the game, but just it might try and do the big knockout blow on you at some stage.
Mm. You know what else has been on my mind for a different reason? I've got something in the pipeline, not yet announced, but I'm doing a bit of training for it. I'm doing a bit of training in preparation. And so there's a lot of realizing how much human potential does not get tapped into, how much of the inner voice, the silent, unheard inner voice is still speaking and needs to be picked up. You know, like I'm very aware of, I aim to be very aware of how I speak and frame things and what beliefs that narrative embeds, but it goes another level. And then, so I've done a couple of weeks of some crazy stuff and I'm just like, shit. I feel like I've been real lazy for 3 years in a lot of areas, potentially.
Yeah, it's the old, did well but could do better type thing. And then, like, it's a really interesting thing because if you look at it from the other side, the other voice would be saying, congratulations on stepping up, whatever it is. I've seen some of your crazy training on Instagram, by the way. Like, you're looking bloody fit too. You look really fit. So obviously there's something going on there. But getting out of that idea that, oh, you know, I should have done this. It's a bit like me. How come you didn't go out and set up your own business 20 years ago?
Because
I wasn't ready. And I don't have any regrets that it was 8 years ago or 9 years ago and I should have done it then, or I feel guilty now. It's like, no, you are living in the time that you're in now. And for anyone listening, don't get caught. As soon as that story turns up, oh, I should have done more. I could have done this. Like, just say, I'm happy with where I'm at. Don't let that voice come in. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you said that you're going like a crazy human at the moment because, you're trying to do 6 weeks of podcasts and something might come up. Like, what if this thing happens and then you haven't got 6 weeks of podcasts? What's going to happen?
So then I will have less episodes per week. So I'll reduce the number of episodes I produce per week. But in the
So what?
So what? What do you mean? Yeah.
Well,
so nothing.
So exactly. So I want you to be really conscious at the moment that, like, you don't want to fucking run yourself into exhaustion here now because I'm doing this training and I've got to get 6 weeks of podcasts. How many podcasts do you do a week?
I'd like to get 6 weeks. Not I've got to. I'd like
okay,
to.
Okay. All right. Now, well, you said I've got to get six yeah, weeks of podcasts, not I'd like. Okay. How many podcasts do you do a week?
I do 5 a week.
What if you did 4 in those weeks or 3?
There is potential for that.
Oh, potential's a really interesting word. That sort of sounds like you're fucking reversing the truck up to me.
Well, no, because I'm not going to, because at the moment, so I've got potentially 3 months to prepare for this. So a couple of extra runs a week. If they don't happen, they don't happen. But why would I not just take action?
Oh, I don't mind that you're taking action. 168 hours in the week. Where's that extra time coming from?
Procrastination.
Okay. So if you've got a little pit there called the, and I call this as the I don't know time, it's the time when I'm sitting on the couch watching a cat playing the piano on a YouTube clip or whatever it might be doing.
I'm going to defend myself, rightly so, right now. All right, so
hang on. Before you, this is interesting. What are you defending yourself for?
Because I am right. Because
are you under attack at the moment?
No, because you're backing me into a corner, and that's there's no what corner. You think. There's no corner to be backed into. Right. So I came back from Port Douglas. And since then, life has changed dramatically in terms of how I do me and how I do life. Every night, every single night I walk my dog, I switch off, I don't do work of a night, I go for a walk and I get in bed and I read. My sleep's been phenomenal. Since doing this crazy training, which has been about 2 weeks now, I've been getting that sleep. I've been eating incredibly. I've been having downtime Like, I'm just, when there's a purpose behind something, there's no procrastination. And this is what I think, what I meant when I said before that human, that performance, like looking back and going, fuck, we waste time. It's like, because I'm struggling less now with what should feel like more on my plate, because there's no stuffing around. There's no fucking around when the alarm goes off in the morning and wasting a bit of time. It's get up, do this, so that you've got half an hour to lay and do nothing then, and then go to the next thing, because at 7 o'clock, you're finishing your dinner and you're going to take the dog for a walk, and then you're going to come home, get in bed. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. I don't think you've needed to defend yourself from any sort of attack though.
Well, you had the bloody guns out on me.
Well, that's what, that's your perception of what was going on, your perspective. And again, what's the little lesson in this? I was running a session last week with a group, and one of the people in the group kept using the language fight for, fighting, where we're going into a battle and all this sort of stuff. And after she'd finished speaking, I just said, look, there's a curiosity for me here that I'm just wondering how historically that language has served you well.
Mm.
How well is that language serving you now? And when you're going into some important human interactions and you're thinking it's going to be a fight, I'm fighting for something. And she went, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And I think I'm just trying to pick something up that I hope the listeners can pick up. Our language really matters. And I look, some of you be listening go, well, you were backing her into a corner, LeBusque.
You know what though? I think it stems from the fact that I am really aware in the past of how I can spin a good fucking story around any of my actions. So because I wholeheartedly feel like things this year are going well and very different, I felt really reactive to that, because it's like, because I know my potential to look at things and make them sound, you know, like they're the truth or like they're a version of something better for myself. Until,
yeah, and then you know what? We are just if we want to break it right down, we're a bag of meat full of stories. That's what we are. And we create stories that serve us well, and sometimes our stories don't serve us well. We all do that. I think what's really important at times is if you're dealing with one of your colleagues, one of your friends or whatever it might be, and you're starting to hear some of that language that I heard before, is just stop them and go, think about the language that you're using. People always talk about difficult conversations and there's going to be conflict. And I'm like, what if it was just a conversation?
Mm.
How would you turn up for that? I'm really intrigued though, because I think this takes us, I hope, because we're like, what are we going to talk about today? But we always find something. It seems to me at the moment that there's a real alignment with some sort of, this is going to sound a bit woo-woo, a higher purpose for you.
Mm. Yeah.
So I do wonder then, do we need to have a real higher purpose to get our asses into gear, or is this such a thing of cruising through life and just being happy?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Like, you're up and about. Like, you are, and most times you are up and about, but there's about a 30% amp on what usually goes on with you right now. So you're right in a, like, you're in some sort of flow, sweet spot, whatever you want to call it, which I think is really cool. I wonder whether or not, though, like,
I think,
give yourself a bit of grace here as well while you're in that space. Don't think you've got to get everything out and do it all now. And
absolutely. I think what this thing has opened up in me is it's giving me a reason to step out of the all of the stuff that I bury myself doing. And yep. So I'm using it as a platform for that. And whether or not this thing eventuates, if it doesn't, I'll do something else that's completely unrelated to the business, because I think I need something to pull a bit of balance back, because it's amazing. I love what I do. But there's got to be stepping out of that. And
yeah. This is the evolution of Tiff Cook. This is the adapt. No, seriously, this is the next step. So I think we had the chat where I went off to the fat farm and had the woo-woo stuff and the tarot card readings and all that stuff. And one of the things they said was, you know, there's a higher purpose for you and your work's really important that you're doing now, but there's a higher purpose. Well, And it didn't just happen by mistake, but last week, and I'm still, even when I talk about this, and this is where I think you're at, I'm getting goosebumps now even thinking about last week. So last week I was privileged to start working with an Aboriginal native title cooperative in Western Australia. And so sitting around a room for a day and a half with the board of this group and some elders who came in and just blew me away with what they were sharing. For about the last 3 years, I've thought to myself, I'd really like to do some work in that space, but, you know, with Aboriginal folk. And I was also shitting myself as well, because I'm like, fuck, what if I fuck this up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I'm culturally insensitive? What if I don't know something? So the best way for me to deal with that, Tiff, was to say that to them, that, hey, guess what? This is a privilege for me to be stepping into your world, but I want you to know that I don't understand all your cultural sensitivities, and I could, well, say not something that's blatantly stupid, but I could say something that doesn't sit with your law, L-O-R-E, law, and I just want to let you know that I'm a human being and I could fuck it up. I worked with that group for Friday, and still to today, I'm floating a couple of feet off the ground. Now, the reason I tell you that is I think this is part of my higher purpose. I love my work that I get to do. I love podcasting. I love the human stuff, but going in the room, provoking people and that. But I've read a lot about Indigenous leadership, and I actually saw it happening firsthand in the room, and it just took me to a whole new level. I'm like, does that mean I don't do the work that I've done before Friday? No, it doesn't. It just means that I'm now going to dedicate some time to something it just feels like it's higher purpose, higher end, higher order work. And my sense is there's a bit of that going on for you.
Here's a question I got asked, and I've done a little solo podcast on it, not a long one, and I'd also raised it with Harps on one. But I got asked a couple of weeks ago, like, what would you do if you got, like, if you won a life-changing amount of money? And I was like, oh, you know, and you think of the things. And within a couple of days, I kind of had the shits, because it really bothered me that from two perspectives. One, well, the main one was just going, well, hang on. I haven't even conceived if I had the resources. I'm so stuck without the resources in my mind that I haven't even stretched my mind far enough to know. And if there's no purpose for something, the something never comes. So it bothered the fuck out of me. I went, well, you're going to be paddling away like the little duck on the pond with your little legs flapping your whole life, not getting anywhere, because you don't know. Like, there's no plan for it. I was like, you've got to figure out, I think I have my sights set on great things, big things, and I want to make change, and I think that there's really great potential to do so. But if there's nothing rock solid, it's like jumping in your car to go to a destination and plug in the bloody sat nav and going, shit, I haven't got the address. We're not going to get there, are you?
No, you're not. But, like, so that question about the money, what would I do if I won a significant amount of life-changing money? First thing I'd do is, and I'm sure one of them will listen to this, I'd want to give something to my kids and go, like, you know, hopefully this will help you, considering the times we live in and what their aspirations might be. I don't look at material stuff that much. It's not like I'm going to go and get a fancy car and that. I just, the car's the car. Mm. But I think more about the choices that it would give me. Mm. The choices that would give me to say, do I have to get paid for everything I do? The choices that would give me to say that, sit down and think about, do you really enjoy what you're doing? And does it mean that you're going to stop what you're doing because you've got this? Because that's going to create a lot of time that you're not going to know what the fuck to do with. So, and I've seen it. You've seen how many families fracture when someone wins a whole lot of money and all of a sudden, you know, fucking 2 years later, no one's talking to them and no one's got a cent left. I think we've got to be really careful that, and I know Harps talks about this, but what is success?
Mm.
Is it material success? Is it financial success, spiritual success, whatever it might be? This is going to sound weird, but it's true. It's absolutely true. I don't have an end plan. I don't have a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. And people go, well, you should have. You run your own business. But I don't.
Mm.
I have a sense that my Human Manager Academy, which has just been launched, is going to become my thing in three or four years' time. But that's more of as a revenue stream than a then that's my plan. What I look at is, and it started this year, and you know this, my success is about slowing down now.
Mm.
So maybe the opportunity that these things are bringing for you, the great opportunity is that perhaps you'll get that opportunity to slow down a little bit, and that could be letting go of some things and maybe cutting back on some things. But there's also just over the fence of that, that this thing could speed you the fuck up as well. Like if this opportunity materializes and then other things come out of it, all of a sudden you're like, maybe I'm just better known now, but I'm fucking still running as quick, if not quicker. isn't the sort of idea of where we want to be in the end is, I think, and I use this word very deliberately, Tiff, is making choices about, and the freedom of the choice we have. So I used to think freedom, just quickly, I thought freedom when I worked in corporate was the big paycheck that gave me freedom to do things that I wanted to do, like, you know, have a nice holiday every now and again and provide for the family. The freedom came when the paycheck came. I look at freedom differently now and say, the freedom now is the freedom to choose. So it's not driven by the financial position I'm in. It's driven by the choice I've made not to work Fridays anymore. Mm. It's by the choice I've made to do a podcast with you once a month because I enjoy our conversations. It's about doing things that enrich me, and they don't have to be financial things. They're just like, they're human things. Is that a bit deep?
No, that's exactly what I love to hear. Yeah, I just think I've got some shit about insecurity, about not being secure in the world still, you know, because I go, the only reason I'm working so hard is because I just want to feel secure. I don't want to feel like I'm running on a train track I can't get off and there's a train behind me, because that's kind of what life feels like. And I got a little bit ahead and then some stuff happens and then the train's right on my ass again. And I think, if I'm honest, it feels like, without it being very conscious, it feels like there's a seed of that I go, yeah, but if I did win a life-changing amount of money and I went and had, you know, I want to go and I want to have experiences that change me and I want to see the world and I want to help, I don't know, whatever that change that brings and whatever path it leads me onto. But then I feel like there's just this little silent voice going, yeah, but someone will take it from you and you'll be on your ass.
Yeah, well, I remember our conversation. If you've had some sorts of reasonably close experiences to that, those things will continue to pop up. So, you know, we've talked about that before. The other thing with that is that you don't eliminate that voice, because I think that voice is important, because it creates something that Arps and I were talking about the other day, a bit of fear. And I think fear's your friend, I reckon, because I think you need a bit of fear. But I also just wanted to say this, that what I'd love to hear you say one day is this: that train's right up my ass and I just didn't try and run faster. I actually just stepped off the tracks and I was okay. And the train just hurtled down the fucking line, wherever it went to, but I was okay because I didn't need to feel like I'm having to outrun the train. And I think about our combo a couple of times ago, maybe that's related to the value that you see that you bring, or the value that you don't see, because, you know, you want to be valued. One of the reasons you hang on to stuff is, first of all, I don't want anyone to be my boss. Secondly, I want people to see that I can do things and I'm valued. Well, I think part of that would be, like, you've got a good audience. I think you've got a great opportunity to role model getting off the train tracks.
Mm.
Fuck, we're going a bit. We always go deep, though.
We always do. You always come in and railroad me.
Fuck, have I done that again?
It's your job.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me look on my sheet here. What else have I got on here that we should talk about? Hey, I've got this written down here. You're never too old to learn.
Oh, 100%.
So let's keep it in the context of what we're talking about now. We've both had some great life lessons that have either propelled us forward or sat us on our asses.
Mm.
Where's your head around the TIFF pathway to continuous learning?
Oh, I feel like I only just started learning 3 years ago. I feel like that's when my learning really started, consciously started, deliberate learning, or accidental really, but really engaged learning.
Why was it accidental?
Oh, because it was all from these conversations on this show, and I didn't expect to learn so much. I didn't expect to tap into a level of learning. Today's episode that I just dropped was Gavin McCormick. He's a Montessori school principal. He's amazing. Have a listen to him. Oh, my goodness. And the way he talks about learning, teaching children, like I wish I had that type of a role model in my life when I was a child, because I didn't learn in the typical. I was smart and I scooted through school and I got great grades, but I had shitty attention span and I didn't know how to tap into my own kind of willingness to learn or understanding of learning.
Yeah. So let's just play around with that idea of it was accidental. Do you truly believe that it was accidental, or is there something else at play here?
I suppose it wasn't really, was it?
No, and also wonder, because I use a bit of that too. I'm just lucky. That's my stop story. Mm-hmm. I'm just lucky that this happened, that that happened, that this happened, that then something else came, and then I'm in this podcast with you. I was just lucky. I used to listen to you and Harps before I started talking to Harps, and I'd be like, fucking, I wish I could be like those two. Like, have a listen to them go. And then I was lucky because I sent Harps a message and he accepted it, and I'm lucky I got to meet you, and now I'm lucky that we're talking. But if I really think about it, it's not luck, it's choice. I made a choice to reach out to Craig, Uncle Craig, and, now I'm talking to you. So just for you and your listeners, when that story comes in again, the words we use, it's a bit of an accident that I'm here. I reckon this started more than 3 years ago for you, and I think it started more than 3 years ago for anybody that is in the space of I'm never too old to learn. Or young to learn, whatever you want to call it, that just be conscious of the stories you start to throw out there about accidental.
You know what I love to do, and I was just thinking about it then, and I've done this several times in life, is, when you go, oh, that thing, this place I landed, oh, wow, crazy. And then you go, because it started here. And you're like, oh, no, because then there was that thing, and it was actually that thing that brought me to that thing and that person. I remember sometime in 2019, sitting down with my mate Alison, and she works for the SES part-time. She's a nutritionist. She's amazing. She's been on the show a bit. This part-time gig with the SES, presenting and teaching and doing workshops and really awesome stuff. She goes to me one day, it'd be really great for you to find a position like I have where it's part-time. So you've still got your business, but then you've got all this thing doing what you love with a place like that. And I was like, oh, what a great idea. I go home, I get on Seek, and I'm like, fuck, what's that called and where do I find it? And I had a bit of a search and I didn't really come up with anything, right? But here's the thing. I had a realization, it triggered a thought, I took some action, and then, as always happens in my life, from completely left of field at another time not long after, I get offered whilst in lockdown, a position to create a wellness hub while we're in lockdown for the Ambulance Victoria paramedics, doing exactly that, which is what led to doing Feel Good Fridays, which were these conversations for Ambulance Victoria, which I then thought, gee, I could save all of these and one day release them as a podcast when I've got 20-something of them, and then I'll learn to do, So looking at all of those things and you go, and the reason I had the contact at Ambulance Victoria is because I had followed Harps and volunteered for Harps for all those years, and I ran into Rain, who's a paramedic, at the camp, and because we both were boxers, we hit it off, and she had me do a boot camp for the paramedics a few years before. So I was just like, oh, it's all so deliberate. Harps used to say, why do you come? Like, I would give up work on the weekends to go and volunteer at his camp. Yep. And he's like, why do you do that? Why do you come and work all those those days for nothing, because I value churning the words that you speak, hearing that and letting that get into my head and, thinking about it. But also the connections that you make when you get a people like that into a room, I've made some really good connections from that.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing there is that it's not accidental and it didn't happen. See, I sort of think this. Some people think that they're going to be fucking shot down from the spaceship of success. It'll, you know, like in the UFO movies, all of a sudden there's a big fucking light beam and you end up on the ground and you're like, fuck, I've arrived. And you're looking around going, oh, how did this happen? What the really smart humans do is they then sit back and go, let's now go back and in chronological order, let's work backwards to that thing. So that thing of my friend who suggested this, and then you took some action. And I think this is the big part here is that a lot of people like to think that it's just going to happen for them. The spaceship's going to drop them somewhere where they want to be. And that doesn't happen. So they go through life making excuses and feeling fucking miserable for themselves. Oh, I can't let go because it's I'm the only one who can do it. Or I'm just lucky and I just was in the right place at the right time and I'm never going to be there again. And I would encourage your listeners to think about what's something where I'm at, where I am right now, which is, which makes it feel like it's some sort of success, and then do the work of sitting in and going, let's go back 12 steps then and find the thing that it was. So for me, talking to you today, which I consider to be time well spent, is Zoe's boyfriend, Tom, who's a PT, said, have you ever listened to Craig Harper? This is years ago. I'm like, no, I haven't. I've heard of him, never listened to him. That was the start.
Yeah.
To then go, oh, I listened to a podcast, listened to a couple. Fuck, I might reach out to him. I wonder if he'd come on. Fuck, he's famous. And then I'm talking to you as well. And so I didn't come down in the spaceship that landed me in the place that said, you're going to be on roll with the punches. Because that'd be too easy. Because then I just think every time I wish for something, it's going to happen for me. And I just want to caution people to think, how's that going for you?
Well, do you know what else? You know, it's also having appreciation for the really shit things along the way and realizing we have to appreciate them and realize that they are a part of the process. You know, like I bought into gyms and I worked in them for a while and I invested a lot of money and then we had a pandemic and we shut down and in the middle of that lockdown, I realized that I wasn't in a good place.
Yep.
And I was in a horrific financial position that I was committed to and I had to make a decision. Now, it could have been quite easy for me to say, that's the worst thing that could have happened. I feel so bad. What a disaster. I wish it didn't happen. But I wouldn't be doing what I do today. I'd still be working at some boxing gym somewhere, procrastinating. I needed the shit to shift me out of the ordinary so that I would create something new under duress, because sometimes I perform really well under duress.
Well, it's people who think that this world we live in is a straight path on the super fucking highway, six lanes, 160 kilometres an hour.
With no heated problem. Seats.
With heated seats. I've got air-conditioned seats in my car. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I turned to Mum one day on the old, the dearly departed father-in-law, and he's like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, it's got the air conditioner on for him. I'm just giving you a little bit of work around your tackle area there just to cool you down a little bit. This isn't a super highway because we run into roadworks and there'll be someone holding a slow down sign there and then a stop sign and then there'll be a pothole and then the GPS is taking me away that it's going to take me 3 more hours. Mm. If you're not living in that, you're not learning.
Yeah.
And if you're living on the super highway today, folks, you are going to run into a dead end at some point in time and go, fuck, what happened there? So live and accept that failure and suffering and all of those sorts of things are absolutely what we need in order to get to where, and I'm not going to say we're successful by any stretch of imagination. Some people listening go, you must be because you've got podcasts and all this stuff, but there's going to be another brick wall for me very soon. I don't know what it is, but it'll come along. I'm not waiting for it, but I know it will happen because I'm a realist.
It's just manage. I mean, isn't it annoying how we get to these periods in life where, like, I'm about to say something right now that sounds as cliche as anything, but the reality is one day you're reading quotes going, fucking yeah, whatever, everyone says that, and then next minute you read that quote and go, yeah, right, like you have this new appreciation for, and I think for me, it's been on my mind heaps lately, this idea of, I've been so controlling over everything in my life. What if I just learn how to be happy and accept, not just lay down and accept it, like I'll still have the ability to control things and influence things, but also just go, I can't control that. I can just control me in the middle of it. So when the next time life knocks me for six, I don't get attached to everything I've got or everything I'm doing, and I just go, okay, well, let's just chill and see what's next. You know, like.
Yeah, I agree. Or say those two words that I said before and you're like, and you went a bit silent. So what?
So what?
Like, so what? Like, if something happens, so what? Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Is it the end of the world? I couldn't get five podcasts or six podcasts out a week. So what? I got four out. That was okay. I jumped off the train tracks because I got the fucking lactic acid buildup. This train was going to run me over. So I just got off and had a bit of a rest for a minute. And then I got back on when I needed to get back on. So what? I think too many people get caught up in the, and you used this term before, which I really liked, is we bury ourselves in the work. And we feel like maybe we've got to run a bit harder now because, you know, opportunities knock on the door and you go, fuck, I better get hold of that one. And then, but there's other ones you've already got. And when do we stop and just go, so what?
Yeah.
How are we going for time, mate?
Mate, we've got about 8 minutes.
Happy days. So we can change.
Bullshit.
I reckon the greatest compliment I get these days is when someone says to me, you've changed. And I go, yeah, I have. And then they look at me like, not supposed to say that. Supposed to get into an argument with me. Supposed to say, no, I haven't. What's wrong with you? What do you got the shits on with me? What's going on? I haven't changed. I'm the same person I was when I was 18.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I was having a conversation with someone the other day and they were talking about a friend and it was kind of having one of these conversations where we're talking about how we're self-aware and we're taking ownership over, you know, like whatever. Responsibility for things, for our part in things. And she mentioned her friend and she goes, oh, she just doesn't kind of, she's not ready to hear that. She's not ready for this. And it was just the idea around we don't have to hate someone to let go of a level of the friendship. If a friendship doesn't serve us because we've both found ourselves at points where we're completely different, there doesn't have to be a fight and there doesn't have to be judgment and there doesn't have to be anything. You just go, but I think that we get caught up in maybe feeling abandoned or feeling like we've failed something. So we cling on to friendships that probably aren't worthy of our time, which that might sound harsher than I mean it to. Does it make sense?
No, that doesn't sound harsh. That actually sounds much less than harsh. It's a bit like, I sort of look at it like this, Tiff, and I say, I truly believe that I've only got, I'm going to say one really, really close friend, all right? And I couldn't see that relationship fracturing. I've got lots of other friends as well, and they're good relationships, but we go through stages in our lives and people come and go for whatever reasons that they are. And I think the ability for us to be comfortable in getting to a point where we say, you know what, I don't think this relationship serve us very well. It's not like we're breaking up, but we just might be spending less time than we were before. And are you okay with that? And if you're not okay with it, that's your choice to not be okay with it, but I'm okay with it. And, you know, for instance, I've told you this before, I don't go on the boys' weekend away anymore. I love them to death still, but I don't go and do that. And they don't even invite me anymore because we've had the conversation and sort of got to the point where it's like, is it okay that we don't invite you? Fucking oath, it's okay you don't invite me because we're okay with that. It doesn't matter. We didn't hang out, you know, 2 weeks ago, we hung out together with our partners and that, and that was really good. But I don't want to go and do the thing that they go and do, and they have a lot of fun and that's cool. But when you change, you can't control how other people are going to feel about your change.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the issue. Whether it's abandonment could be that you feel like you're abandoning them rather than you're being abandoned. But I always look at it this way and say, what's the downside of not having that conversation with somebody who wants you to stay like you were when you're 18 or 28 or whatever it might have been? I think that's when it becomes toxic. And then, you know, we're not talking to each other for 10 years.
why do you think we get so bound up by people saying things about us that aren't true? So, like, why can't we let that go? You know, some people will have a falling out with someone and then their friend is saying X, Y, Z and they're losing their mind about it.
Yep.
When we know it's not true, why does it still bother us?
Because I think there's potential reputational damage there for us. Depending on how wide that thing gets out in the world, that can damage reputation. But then again, it's a bit for me, I look at it and I say to myself, oh, I can't control that. I could perhaps ring someone up. Like I had a guy one time, we were playing the cricket grand final. We had our 20-year reunion on the weekend. We were playing the cricket grand final and a guy that was at our club at the time, he's actually no longer at that club, but he's another place there where they put naughty people. He said that he saw me stealing during the grand final after I'd just gone out. He said he saw me stealing money out of the cash register.
Oh.
And it's like, fuck. So I rang him up and I'm like, mate, you're a fucking compulsive liar. But that story, and that story even came up the other night when we were there. It's like, remember the story about that? So people still remember it.
Yeah.
But I've just got to get on with life because I'm not a thief. And if I keep hanging on to that, we laugh about it now. Early days, it wasn't laughable. I had to prove myself that I hadn't done it. But, you know, what do you do? I think what you end up doing there is you just move on.
Yeah.
But we can't hang out together anymore. So I don't know if I've not answered that from a research psychological base, but from a human base, it's like just don't surround yourself with people who are going to pull you down.
Yeah. I remember having a friend that lived, we lived in apartments above and below, and she'd gotten her knickers in a knot about it. She was a bit much for me, and I was a bit of a recluse, still kind of am at times. So she was, you know, it was like knock, knock, knock on the door. It was a bit much anyway. So I was pulling back a little bit, just trying to get my own time. And I remember she must have obviously interpreted, that wasn't a great communicator, by the way, Mark. I could have just said so. I probably just ignored her. Which is so I am to blame for this. But I remember hearing her on the phone telling lies about me to somebody. And I walked out onto the balcony. She was in her courtyard loudly saying this stuff that I'd done. And I remember just looking down at her and I didn't say a word. She looked up in the middle of the phone call and I just looked at her. And then I just walked inside and I was like, I know that you know that I know. That's a lie.
Yep. And that's all you need to do sometimes. You don't need to get into conflict. Hey, we've got to go, but I want to just say this. I've really enjoyed the feedback that you've been sending me from some of our conversations. So can I just, with your listeners here, put this to them. Why don't you just send through a couple of topics you'd like us to talk about? Is that okay to say that?
Absolutely. Great idea, Mark.
Happy days. You get off and do what you got to do. Always a pleasure.
Been a pleasure. Next time, can you actually play that guitar and sing me a song?
I'll work one out. I'll do something. I'll play it next time.
You might get head to head on my favourite Mark on the show.
That is not going to happen.
You're just one rendition of Throw Your Arms Around Me and a couple of good left hooks away from being in pole position again.
Go well, Tiff.
Bye, Mark. Bye, everyone.
Cheers. So there you go, fellow humans. Another little chat between me and the fantastic Tiff Cook. A couple of interesting things out of that today, just around language and words and the things that we say and how they can be interpreted. So I think it's really important that we're very, very careful with our words and the way that they come out. And they might sound like we're a bit subservient. They might sound like we're a bit defensive. They might sound like we're a bit aggressive. And at times I get all of those three things from Tiff in the one episode because she jumps in pretty quick when I throw the bait out. She tends to go pretty quick on snapping on that hook, which is interesting in itself. I guess I just love the fact that we can come together, and I think there's a lesson in this for all of us. We can come together after a month or so, not necessarily spend a lot of time preparing, but just find some great things to continue our conversation on. And one of the things I'll say to you, check out her podcast, which is her putting the shoe on her foot and giving me a little bit of a testing out, or maybe putting the boxing gloves on and taking me into the ring and putting me under pressure. So check out that podcast that Tiff's coming out on April the 7th.
Hey, if you love this one, and I know many people do when Tiff and I get together, why not rate it 5 stars? Leave us a little bit of a note as to why you loved it. And if you liked it, share it with your friends. Share it widely. Have a listen to Tiff's podcast as well. But until next time, keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.